Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. My name is Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How are you doing today?
I am doing well, man. What's been happening with you? We've had a busy week, haven't we?
I know. It seems like every day more and more people keep coming in here wanting to be interviewed.
And we went and we did that Business Marketing of Atlanta lunch that we were all so hyped up about. I thought I was going to have to wear slacks. I didn't. I forgot to do that. We wore jeans. And we get there, and the guy's in jeans.
We lucked out.
But a shout-out to Eric Pennington with BMA Atlanta. That was we had great pizza and good conversation, and we got some really cool things happening with those guys.
Right. They have a lot of upcoming events. I don't know if anybody goes to those meetings, but they are where the business marketers hang out.
That's right. Maggiano's, BMAAtlanta.com. You can learn anything you want. And next week, Monday, I think it is, on the High Velocity Radio Show, we're going to have a very special broadcast. It's going to be a BMA Atlanta roundtable. So tune in for that, 10 a.m. Eastern on Monday.
Cool. So what do we got today?
We got a studio full of folks, man, and we pushed it to the last minute because we were in here in a meeting with the other lady, but we got a neat show coming up.
Yeah, you want to introduce the guest?
Absolutely.
And get them started?
It is my distinct pleasure to introduce to you a gentleman from Roundtree Group, cleverly named after himself, Don Roundtree.
We have to talk to him about the origin of that.
Yeah, we're going to learn where that comes from, Don Roundtree, and a person who I am under the impression is probably his client, Kevin Sullivan with Fisher & Phillips. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, we are delighted to have you. So let's hear from you first, Mr. Roundtree. Give us a feel, if you would, for your relationship with these guys and what you're doing for them.
Sure. Well, we are a communication management firm. We're traditionally known as a public relations agency. We have a lot of experience in B2B and B2C communications, and we're very proud to represent Fisher & Phillips here in Atlanta. And I'll let Kevin talk a little bit more about who Fisher & Phillips is and his role with the firm.
Well, Fisher & Phillips is a national labor and employment law firm representing employers. We're in 24 offices. We've got 240 attorneys, and public relations happens to be one of the primary ways we market the firm. And the Roundtree Group is one of 22 PR firms that we currently use.
Wow. And so where'd you find this guy?
I've actually known Don for 10 years. And
you still hired him.
I still hired him.
Wow.
I actually worked at a couple of PR firms here in town before I was with the law firm. And over the years, got to know Don. We were actually friendly competitors at one time. And we stayed friendly. And then a couple years ago, he invited me to speak to a group of public relations practitioners from around the country that were here in Atlanta for a meeting that he was chairing. And we just kept communicating with each other. And when we had an opportunity to finally hire a PR firm in Atlanta, we put out an RFP and talked to a variety of firms. And through our process, we decided Roundtree was the right fit for us. And we had a group of attorneys involved in that selection process, and the choice was actually unanimous.
Now, you've been on both sides of this, right? You worked
Yes.
in PR, and now you're the client of PR.
So Correct.
What do you like better?
Well, that's a good question. People ask me that all the time.
Who makes the most money?
I'm not sure I'll answer that question. I'll just say that I'm fairly compensated, and I'm very happy to work at Fisher & Phillips. There are pluses and minuses to both. Working inside the law firm, you know, what I tell people all the time, one of the great things about working inside a law firm is you work with a lot of smart people. And the bad thing about working inside a law firm is you work with a lot of smart people. And so, because it can be a challenge when you're working with 240 attorneys and over 100 of them are partners. And so they're the owners of the firm and they're all kind of equal. So I work with all of them. But it's actually a pleasure to work with them because our law firm is so focused on labor and employment, representing employers, it helps us with our PR message. We're very focused and we only talk about labor and employment matters. When we do public relations, we don't go out and really talk about the firm so much. We try to be thought leaders, and we'd like to get out in front of issues and, you know, things like wage and hour issues, union issues, those kind of things. I guess one downside is there are a lot of long hours. I mean, attorneys work long hours, and the people who support attorneys are expected to also work long hours. So we do work long hours. On the PR side, and I don't know if this is true for Don's group or not, but I can say when I was at a PR firm, one of the luxuries I had as I was the vice president of the firm where I worked, and I had my own book of business, and I had my own group. So I kind of ran it as almost my own
business. Right.
And I maintained my own hours. I could come and go kind of as I pleased, and I had a lot of time off if I wanted to. As long as the billings were there and my group was gainfully employed, I had a lot of free time. That working inside a law firm, you don't have quite as much free time as you do when you're running your own little book in a PR firm.
Now, you seem to be very PR friendly. You resonate with the value of having a relationship with PR folks. What kinds of mistakes would a legal organization like that make if they didn't have the benefit of counsel and support from people that have expertise like Roundtree and his crowd?
Well, we're fortunate in that, but I should tell you, before I worked inside the law firm, Fisher & Phillips was my client, and they were my client for about 4 years. And now I've been the chief marketing officer there for about 5.5 years. So I've got over 9 years relationship with the law firm. Now, early on when I started working with them, one of the things we were doing, and this was partly spearheaded by the firm's marketing partner, who happens to be in Irvine, California, they believed that PR was the good way to start and that maybe advertising would follow. And I happen to agree with that philosophy. And they either were smart about it or they were lucky. I don't know which, but it worked out. And they were training lawyers back then after they consulted with some PR folks like myself that, you know, when you do PR, you've got to be, you know, very focused on what you've got to have a strategy, and you have to be responsive to the media. That was one of the things that was challenging initially, I think, for the attorneys, but they've all caught on to it, that when dealing with the media, you have to work on their calendar and not yours.
And I like that. And don't you, Lee? I'm liking this.
And that's difficult for a busy attorney sometimes to grasp, because it's not unusual if the media call. And I should tell you, I was a journalist for 15 years, and I was in television news. And as an assignment manager, I would call people up and say, we'd like to do an interview with you on topic A. And by the way, my truck's on the way to your office now.
Right.
And so the attorneys, you know, weren't quite used to that. And they have become used to that. And our attorneys are very responsive. And when the media call, we usually have somebody who can be available when there's short notice. Now, a lot of the media we deal with happen to be trade publications, and so they have a little longer lead time. A lot of them are monthlies, so sometimes we may have a week between the request and the actual interview. But on those occasions when, say, the broadcast media may contact us, that's usually, you know, can you do the interview 5 minutes ago?
Right.
And we usually have somebody who will accommodate them.
Now,
so you can see why we enjoy working with Fisher & Phillips, and in particular Kevin. He's a seasoned veteran. He's
right.
A senior practitioner.
Educated client.
Yeah,
so that makes your job easier. Now, how is social media coming into play with them? Because, you know, this seems pretty forward-thinking in terms of law firms. I don't know many law firm chief marketing officers, but I would imagine that they're kind of forward-thinking in this.
Well, I'll let Kevin answer that directly, but, you know, there is
a... Man, what a PR guy. You just let him do all the talking.
That's two in a row. He's two for two on that. Maybe that's the secret to good PR.
Maybe that's our problem.
Well, it is an art and a science. Which one comes first remains to be seen. But we do have an integrated communication management program. While the PR agency is targeted more on different objectives, Kevin handles a lot of the social media components. But in everything that we do from a traditional standpoint for raising the bar and raising awareness for Fisher & Phillips, it's integrated in social media activities. And I think that's one of the reasons that PR is valued, is there's an extended return on investment. There's shelf life. You know, if you get an article, if you get a TV placement, an on-air interview, you can market that.
Right. You can repurpose it and leverage it down the road. It's not perishable.
That's right. It's third-party credibility, and so it allows that PR value to be extended. And Kevin handles that internally for Fisher & Phillips.
We've been, you know, we weren't on the vanguard of social media. We were a little bit late to the game, but I think we've really caught up quickly.
Is there a late? It seems like it's ever evolving.
Well, you're right, but we weren't there when other people were doing it first, but we've caught up pretty quickly. We have three blogs that are where our bloggers are very active. They're written by the attorneys. Some of the blogs have postings at least two, three, sometimes four or five times a week. We also Twitter. We tweet all of our blog postings and all of our legal alerts, because we issue legal alerts on a regular basis out to our clients. We put those up on Twitter. All of our newsletters we announce through Twitter when they're up, and people can go to our website and see those. And we have a lot of bloggers now who are reposting our materials.
Nice.
And we have a lot of web-based media outlets that you – in an earlier day would have been a magazine, but are now online only, that repurpose our articles all the time. Every month we are dealing with requests from outlets, may we republish this article? And the great thing about that is, of course, we say yes, and they republish it, and then, you know, provided with permission by Fisher & Phillips LLP, sure, and then the attorney who wrote it. And so we just look at that as gold, and we, and that happens to us with almost everything we put out there now.
And so is this really making the phone ring? How does all this translate into generating more business?
Well, that's a question that a lot of attorneys will ask me, and it's a hard one to answer. Now, we do know that it does generate some business. I can't tell you how much. But we have had attorneys, anecdotally at least, tell me that as the result of an article or as a result of a webinar that they did, they've brought in clients. And one webinar that one immigration attorney did, for instance, one time, after that webinar, she brought in three new clients as a result of a single webinar. And I consider that to be pretty good.
And also, I'm sure when they Google themselves, their names are bubbling higher and higher up the search
exactly.
rankings.
And especially the ones who are writing a lot and right. are blogging, you find them very quickly.
Yeah, that's not a coincidence.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, Don, how do you keep 240-plus on message? I mean, that's got to be like herding cats, man. Do you have some sort of proprietary methodology for managing
school-age
kids?
Do you want Kevin to answer that?
No. Well, that's one reason why we like work with Kevin, because he's been on the other side and has worked
right.
for agencies.
So he appreciates it, right.
He does. But what allows us, with Kevin being inside, it allows us to kind of vet items, and Kevin knows what's going to work and what's not going to work, not only because he hires 21 other agencies, but because he has such deep knowledge of the firm and the thought leaders and the areas of expertise. So a lot of times what Kevin and I will do is we'll share story ideas. We'll talk about, hey, will this work? Will this not work? And it allows us to be cost-effective with our dollars so we can utilize our dollars to get the biggest bang for the buck. And we've got targeted publications that we're trying to go after and secure editorials for. So having a two-way street, having open communication really allows us to be the most effective possible.
Now, do you guys create kind of your own editorial calendar regarding the blogger, saying, you know, we want to hit these issues coming up, or are you more reactive to what's happening in the world?
It's kind of a two-pronged approach. I mean, you can be proactive and you can be reactive. Obviously, certain publications issue kind of editorial calendars. We know what they're going to write right. and when they're going to write. And so we just basically marry up, you know, the thought leaders inside Fisher & Phillips along with the publication
sure.
and say, hey, we can comment on this. We can provide perspectives. And the other kind of approach is kind of reactive, is kind of tailgating. There may be a national issue going on that Fisher & Phillips can speak to. So we take a national issue and we bring it down on the local level and say, hey, this is how this impacts employers here in the Atlanta marketplace, because we've got true experts who,
right.
who know the insides and outsides.
And then
of
do you
blog.
Take those three bloggers that you mentioned, do you say, okay, hey, why don't you attack this maybe from three different angles, and then we'll try to disseminate that out to the public?
No, because the blogs are on very different topics. They're very laser-focused.
Uh-huh.
And there's actually more than three bloggers. We have three blogs, but we have multiple people contributing
multiple
to those blogs.
Contribute,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But it's rare that a topic would resonate across the three blogs because they're so topic specific.
Uh-huh. But you do use that as a way to distribute.
Oh yeah, the bloggers are constantly putting up information that is very timely. I mean, if there's some sort of a court ruling or a law that's passed that pertains to the type of law that our attorneys practice,
right.
there's something out there.
So are you guys writing about this Wisconsin thing?
We are actually in the process of probably doing that, except that the blogs that we have don't deal with union issues. So
uh-huh.
that is a union matter.
Is this something to do with cheese? I missed this.
You missed one. You don't read the newspaper.
Unionized.
Only listen to internet radio.
Now, we are actually, there's an internal dialogue going on with a group of our attorneys who practice what we call traditional labor law,
mm-hmm.
where they do help employers who either have unions or employers who would prefer not to have unions. And there is a discussion going on how do we publicize what we know about this. And yesterday, several of the attorneys had emails going back and forth in an email discussion on how do we address this issue.
Right.
Because that is an issue that is resonating across a lot of states. Now, Georgia does not have some of the same issues that these states do, so it
right.
makes it a little harder here in this state to get the media interested, because they look at it as, well, we don't have a big public sector union
right.
issue in this
right.
state where they do in Wisconsin, Indiana, Ohio, places like that. And so here it's a little harder to get the media to write about that.
So do you guys have a bat phone and you're calling every day? Are you pitching him stuff? Are you pitching? How does the day-to-day thing work?
Well, it's a two-way street, just like any communication effort is. I mean, we do have regular scheduled conference calls. We have regular scheduled reports. But, you know, you have to have a good rapport. You have to be very open and very transparent. And that is a key to a successful working relationship, is having that type of communication. And sometimes we're on the phone together. Sometimes we'll sit down face-to-face, which is always healthy. And then we do have a lot of emails back and forth. So it is a combination. I don't think there's a golden number of, you know, you have to have this many emails versus this many phone calls and sit-downs. But it's important that you communicate on all different levels. But we're pretty much in communication every day, if not every other day.
Yeah, well, I mean, you both wore suits today. You knew what the dress code was today. Tomorrow's shorts, you shoot a little email off or whatever.
Remember, I work at a law firm, so this would be considered, you know,
that's casual. The regular
outfit.
Yeah. It's Thursday casual, yeah. Right? So I'd like to hear this from each of you. What do you find particularly rewarding about your work and this relationship? And what do you find a little bit challenging, if not downright frustrating?
If you want Don to leave the room.
Should we put him like in the isolation booth to answer this question?
Well, I'll lead off with the associated challenges, and you kind of hit on that with 240 attorneys. You know, there's a lot of chiefs in the room.
No shortage of opinions.
No shortage of opinion and, you know, strong opinions. But, you know, the important thing is that we have an internal champion, and that's Kevin, and he's our lead contact. So he helps kind of work through various items and initiatives, and also helps the agency set priorities, because there are a lot of different practice groups and there are a lot of different opinions, so we have to make sure we're utilizing our dollars from a very cost-effective perspective, because we want to get the biggest bang with various publications.
I mean, there's a lot of things about my job that I find rewarding, but in the PR realm, if we're just going to stick there, is I love getting home runs. I mean, when we get a media placement that I consider a home run, I think I'm the most excited person in the law firm. I mean, I'm still a news junkie.
Right.
You know, I've got a journalism degree. I was a practicing journalist for 15 years. I went into PR. I mean, communications has been my life since I had my first radio job at 15 at a little radio station in Montana while I was in high school. So I've been involved in communications my whole life. So when we get a really solid placement, you know, like a Wall Street Journal placement.
Or an Atlanta Business Radio, something like that.
Sure,
there you go.
You're jumping up and down.
Top of the hour.
I really am. I mean, people don't know how excited I do get by those kind of things.
And it's nice to work in a place where it seems like the other people appreciate it as well. It's not like you're underappreciated there.
No, and that's another great thing about the fact that, I mean, it's testament to the attorneys that we have 22 PR firms working for us. And the reason we have 22.
That number just blows my mind.
Well, we do that, and I don't mind sharing this with you, is, and we're not the first organization to use this model. I mean, there are other businesses out there that have a model very similar to this, and some of them are much bigger than us. They're not law firms. But we have 24 offices, and what we like to do is have PR firms that are homegrown work with the local office. And so they get to know the attorneys very well. The attorneys work very closely with them. We like to hire smaller PR firms because we like to have senior attention. We have come to learn that if you hire smaller PR firms, you tend to get a little bit more senior attention. And we also think that the homegrown PR firms know their market. Now, our attorneys know the market as well because they're in the same city, but the attorneys haven't worked in PR and media. So they need some guidance from these PR professionals to help them understand what the media in that market want and how to deal with them. And so each office, the managing partner of each office, the regional managing partner, is typically the day-to-day contact for the PR firm in that particular market. Now, they all report back to me on a regular basis, so I know what they're doing, and we have a monthly conference call with all the PR firms, and it is required to be on that call. And we exchange information around all the firms on a regular basis. But we do have, you know, it's somewhat, you know, it is somewhat decentralized management of the PR firms, although I'm kept apprised of everything that we're doing.
Is it a situation where it's kind of like a laboratory and you're taking best practices from
most
what's
definitely
happening?
Oh, yeah.
And, most definitely.
And
what's working, what's not working. It allows the agencies to be cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my other roles is I'm sort of the traffic cop, too, because all the PR firms are looking at certain resources that we all have access to. And so we will all know almost simultaneously when an editor or reporter in a certain city is looking for an expert on topic A. Well, rather than 22 PR firms sending an email to this reporter saying, hey, I have an expert
right.
who can talk to you.
Oh, yeah.
they clear it with me first and say, okay, who's going to get this one?
And you pick the...
Yeah, and it's easy to decide. A lot of times it's whoever raises their hand first, unless it doesn't make sense in that particular office. Say there's an attorney that doesn't practice in that area, and they say, hey, we want to do it here, and I'll say, well, you don't have an attorney who practices in that particular subspecialty of labor and employment law, so why don't we hand that off to this other office where there is an expert?
Right.
Well, before we let you go, say a little bit more, if you will, about Fisher & Phillips, what kind of practice areas that you have, what you're out there doing for folks, and let's make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you guys if they'd like to take advantage of your services.
Well, we have a website that's very easy to remember. It's laborlawyers.com. And Fisher & Phillips, as I mentioned earlier, is a labor and employment law firm representing employers. And under the umbrella of labor employment, there are such areas as immigration, workplace safety, which is an OSHA-related practice, issues around wage and hour issues that employers have to deal with, union issues that employers have to deal with, anything like that. A big one now that's becoming bigger in Georgia since an amendment was passed by the voters here is non-compete agreements, which is a growing practice area because a lot more companies now have a need for non-competes, non-solicitations, those type of agreements. So our attorneys practice across those areas. And so under labor and employment, you have attorneys who specialize in, say, immigration. And we have an immigration group that's actually based here in Atlanta. That's all they do is immigration work for employers. Then we have, in fact, the former head of OSHA is chairman of one of our practice groups, and he's here in Atlanta. So they oversee all the OSHA-related work. Then we have a group that does non-compete and attorneys at, you know, all these different subspecialties. And so our attorneys are they're truly experts in their particular areas because they are very focused. You know, labor and employment is somewhat broad, so you've got all these other subspecialties underneath that, and we have the lawyers who focus on those areas.
So, Don, this is your Gordon Gekko, man. Right? I mean, yeah. Do you work with anybody else? Are you pretty much focused on this firm?
Sounds like a full-time job.
Yeah, no kidding. So tell us more about Roundtree and how this all fits into your mix.
Well, sure. Well, we are a communication management agency. We work for a lot of B2B firms, B2C firms, business-to-consumer, a lot of healthcare. And in a lot of real estate, there's kind of subsections in each one of those. You know, you can take real estate and look at residential, commercial, and industrial. Of course, that's dried up a little bit. We do a lot of consumer work. Typically, you think of kind of consumer practices, consumer launches, line extensions of traditional products. We've always hired former editors and former reporters. People have been on the other side of the telephone, the other side of the keyboard, because that's traditionally what our clients are looking for. That's, you know, media relations, kind of positive exposure.
Right.
We've been in business for 26 years. We've garnered more than 145 industry-leading awards, primarily for media relations programs. We are a small-sized firm here in the Atlanta marketplace, but we're a part of an affiliation where we have more than 75 firms worldwide with about 1,000 employees, so we're excited with that partnership. So while our work is primarily focused here in Atlanta for Fisher & Phillips, we do kind of have global capabilities. But the best way to find us is roundtreegroup.com. And that's Rountree group.com, no D. And we appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you guys on the show. I hope you'll come back sometime. You know, I'd like to think that next time we could get Kevin to come out of his shell a little bit and express himself. But, you know, with time, I think we can get that done.
I'm working on that.
Don, you do media coaching?
Yeah, we do. We do media coaching, right. Media training.
Why are you looking at me when you ask that question?
I got his card.
Yeah.
Well, listen, can you guys hang out with us for a little while we visit with our other guests?
Sure.
That'd be good.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you. So I got to tell you, Lee, I've got some great news coming up about our new sponsor, BMA Atlanta.
Yes.
They have something coming up March the 10th from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., lunch at Maggiano's. They had me at Maggiano's. I don't care what else is happening on the program.
I didn't hear anything else he said after that.
But it's only $30 for members, $50 for non-members, and they can register online at bmaatlanta.com. But the reason I'm so excited about going is the speaker for that meeting is none other than the guy we had on the High Velocity Radio Show a couple of weeks ago, Dan McDade.
Oh, yeah. He was a good
interview. he's got the book out about the truth about leads.
Leads.
So my plan is to muscle my way into Maggiano's and listen to
Dan.
Learn
about that?
Yeah, and try to get, I don't know, maybe Dan will say something nice about Business Radio X or something.
You think?
Yeah.
What do we have to do to pull that off?
I don't know, but we ought to think it through. Maybe we'll talk to our next PR lady and
see how to work the
I got to say, those two guys were a lot of fun. They were very informative, but our next guests are much better looking.
It's not even close.
So tell us about our next guest. Who we got up here?
Who do we have next? We have Laura Armistead with Reflex Systems. How you doing, Laura?
Great. How are you?
You want to talk a little bit about what you do? We'll introduce your cohort over there.
Absolutely. Well, I am the Vice President of Marketing for Reflex Systems. It's a local Atlanta-based company that we provide software solutions for large enterprises that are managing virtualization infrastructure.
So, I like that, virtualization infrastructure.
And then we have Zenobia. Yes. How do you say that?
Godshock.
That is a quality name. And so you want to share a little bit about how you help Laura?
Sure. So I'm with ZAG Communications. We are an enterprise technology-focused PR agency, and we have been working with Reflex Systems for, I think, about 5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have they been around? About 5 years.
She put them on the map, man.
That's right. She did. Absolutely.
So what compelled you to make the investment in a PR agency? I mean, that's not a check that everybody decides to write. You know, mm-hmm. Why'd you do it?
Well, I think a little like your first guest, I think the public relations is a very core to a broader marketing strategy. So, and I also came on from the agency side as well early in my career.
That's a theme this morning. Like people have worked the other side of the desk.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
I think it's probably just a good core best practice business strategy, it sounds like.
Well, I think it certainly helps the relationship between an agency and a company. You know what to expect. You know what you've done on the other side. So I think it helps both sides. So actually, when I came to Reflex Systems, my my very first major initiative was to bring on a PR firm. So
that was a core part of your marketing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's very important to spend your money wisely. And I truly feel like by getting your messaging out in a controlled way that truly has more third-party validation to it,
right.
Is essential. Anyone, if you have the money, can spend money on advertising and doing those type things. But if you don't have a broader integrated marketing strategy, everything needs to play off everything else and support the other programs that you do. And I think PR, a strong PR strategy, can tie all of those things together.
You can buy yourself into a real hole if you don't have the benefit of some counsel from someone like Zenobia, right? So, Zenobia, how did you get in this racket? How did you get started in PR?
It's a little non-traditional way, right?
Yeah, it is, actually. So I come from California. I worked on the West Coast. After I graduated, I worked in finance for...
We're not going to hold that against you.
For a little technology company called Intel.
Ah.
Yeah. And quickly learned that while finance was, you know, pretty core to the business, the PR and marketing side was really what interested me most. So I worked for a few startups on the West Coast and then moved out to out from California about 6 years ago. And
to here?
To Atlanta.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was a culture shock, right?
Atlanta, you know, I always say that Atlanta needs better PR because it's a great city to live and, you know, people don't promote it as such.
Well, you went to Stanford, that's where I want my kid to go to school, just so throw that out there. But
what? Why do you want him to go to Stanford?
That's where all the smart people look around. Now, what is it like when you're in Silicon Valley area? And Atlanta comes up. That's not even on the radar, is it?
You know, it is. Interestingly, there have been, if you look at over the past few years, there have been a lot of big Silicon Valley companies paying attention to and also doing a lot of acquisitions of
right.
technology
companies
in the Bay Area.
And then they move them to Silicon Valley.
No, they keep them here. It's
really?
It's a lower cost base. It's a uh-huh. great pool of talent. You know, we do some work with Georgia Tech and TAG, and
right.
they've really tried to encourage the great group of engineering talent and technology talent that is here to stay here. So I think while certainly, you know, the Valley has that reputation and is kind of the center of all things technology in this, you know, Atlanta is getting that reputation. There are, you know, there are some great companies that have been launched here that have still continue here as public companies. There are also some great companies that have been acquired by Silicon Valley companies because they recognize the value of that talent, of that technology, and of having a really smart base of people here in a lower cost area where they can have a great quality of life.
So you think we're making a name for ourselves?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We just, but like she said, we need some PR.
PR.
So you got to give us some inside scoop on these tag folks, because the tag folks are coming on one of the shows and doing a roundtable thing too. And I didn't even know what the TAG stands for. I probably shouldn't say that. I'll find out between now and then. So you have some experience with this group, yeah?
Yeah, it's a great group. It's a mostly volunteer organization, the Technology Association of Georgia. There's a lot of great programs that they do, you know, to support and promote the activities of technology companies in the area. The program that I work most closely with is called Girls Get IT, which helps to you know, promote the education of girls within technology. Because if you look at the statistics, it's actually a fairly small population.
What percent?
I don't know the exact percent.
It's less than 10, right?
Yeah, it's pretty small.
Well, that's
the group
I want to join. Girls Get Technology. I'm in. How much?
We'd have to change a few things first. But, you know, one of the things that they do is really promote from a grade school level, you know, the understanding and enjoyment of what can you get with a degree in engineering, a career in technology, working with some of the local companies here who help, you know, bring people in for a day, kind of help them shadow some of the folks to see what it's really like.
So, Laura, what kind of questions did you ask or should a person ask if they're inside an organization like yours or like our former guests? Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy's got, you know, 240 partner firm. What kind of questions should they be asking of themselves or of a potential PR agency candidate in order to make a good, quality, profitable, productive decision on which agency to engage?
Sure. Well, I think there are several key things. Obviously, a major one is, you know, understanding of the industry. Relationships with press and media, and you know how they can help promote you, your brand, and help you, and who they know. You know that's kind of, I think, a basis everyone wants.
So you check their Rolodex?
Absolutely.
And how do you check that?
Well, I understand, you know, a broad brush of who the right targets are for us.
Right.
So I know who we need to be talking to, where we need to be. So I think most likely you can tell in a conversation if people know the right people, give you the names of who they've, where they've been before, what they've done. I talked to other clients, other people. I will say Zenobia and Zag came very highly recommended. And it took, as I said, it was my first initiative coming in, and it took, you know, an hour over coffee. And
you were ready to go.
I was done.
Wow, Zenobia. We can learn from that sales skill there.
But I'm fascinated by this. I mean, you can't see this in radio land, but Zenobia's young. And you know, like our last
guest.
She
went to Stanford.
That's all about being
smart. That's a lot of points.
Our last PR person has a really impressive Rolodex, but he's a little longer in the tooth. I mean, you know, how did you build such an impressive Rolodex? How do you get all these relationships? How do you get to meet these people? How do you get them?
Absolutely. I think, you know, technology is a little bit different from other industries in that you're expected to do a lot when you're very young, right? So you're expected to sort of, you know, put your feet to the fire.
You're jumping in.
Yeah, go and figure it out, right? Go and
make it happen.
You don't have to sort of toil at a certain level. People are very willing to give you an opportunity if you're willing to jump in and try things and go out and call these people and pitch them and talk to them. You know, they're willing to open that door. They're willing to sit down with you. They're willing to have lunch with you. Even, you know, they have no idea how old you are, and your founder that's sitting next to you is probably, you know, somewhere in their mid-20s. So I think it's very much a meritocracy. People are willing to listen to you for your ideas and the stories that you bring them, and they, you know, they are happy to quickly build those relationships with you if you're becoming a valuable source to them. You know, if you look at the team at Reflex, they're, you know, that's a pretty young team across the management board. Not, you know, they have a ton of experience, but not a lot of gray hair.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I do want to point out that's one of the other key things, the other two key things for me when looking for an agency to support what we do is providing broader marketing counsel. It's not just about articles and press. There's a lot more that PR can offer and help integrate with what you're doing in a marketing strategy. So I think that was one of the things. I mean, you can tell. I mean, Zenobia and her team, they're just smart people. They know what they're doing, and you can tell that very, very quickly. And I'm thrilled to have them represent us when talking in the out in the industry to various people. There's never that worry that if Zenobia is there instead of one of the executives or myself, that's absolutely acceptable and great. And that leads into Zenobia and Zag, because we do have other members of the team that support us, are truly just an extension of the Reflex team. We do not function as agency, company, or client, in my opinion. You know, we communicate very consistently, and whether it's a specific, it may have nothing to do with, you know, an article, anything, a writing, press release. It may have something to do about my webinar schedule or events or other things in my marketing plan, marketing programs, that they bring a tremendous amount of value in the overall marketing strategy, not just in the public relations piece of it.
How do you work your day-to-day? Like, because you have to have some sort of an overarching strategy component to your relationship, but then you also have the kind of day-to-day, you know, reactive things. How do you guys manage that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, the devil is in the details a lot,
sure.
Right? So I think having a consistent standing meeting where, you know, we go through all the things that are coming up,
right.
And everything that we're working on is very good. And then I think, as the previous guest referred to, you know, we're in contact quite a bit. I think, you know, cell phone, email, chat, whatever it may be, because you're right, a lot of what we do is reactive, right? Something else happens in the industry, and we
right.
want to be able to respond to it pretty quickly. We want to give our opinion. We want to get Reflex's take included in the press's story.
In the conversation.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, do you guys utilize social media? I would assume you guys use it a lot.
Absolutely. And that is certainly one thing that Zenobia and her team have helped to guide us on. Obviously, technology, there's a lot of use of social media,
sure.
and has for a while. So,
you've got to stay ahead of it, right? Zenobia, is that a challenge?
It is, and there's always new and different technologies that we're looking
right.
at.
And which are the real players and which are kind of fads that are going to go away?
Absolutely. And I think with the Reflex team, we're really lucky. They very much understand that. They've embraced that. And, you know, kind of across the board of the management team, they each are contributing. Laura, I have to give a shout out to Mike Ronsky, who
yes.
is very, very active on Twitter, gets a lot
yes.
of the press involved, has a very technical background.
Right.
And he, you know, really has become one of those people that other people in our industry have started to follow because of the things that he tweets.
Nice.
So he gets retweeted a lot. He gets, you know, his things get commented on a lot, and he has been able to build some of those relationships with important people, not only in the press and media side, but also on the customer side, who are now looking to him as an expert in virtualization management.
And that is one of the way we've used social media to better position us as industry experts,
right.
in particular team members. And you're right, Mike does a phenomenal job, and we just have really gained a tremendous amount, and we can see it in our web traffic. We can
right.
see it in our where people are coming to us from, and particularly Twitter has really drive a lot more traffic to
Isn't
us.
Isn't that something? Because we've had people on the show that sort of poo-poo the whole
right.
Twitter
Some
thing,
people love Twitter. Some people, yeah, I guess it depends on what industry and what, you know, the topic is.
That's
right.
Great.
And Laura's team is very sophisticated in their use of understanding those types of things, like
right.
she talked about, where the web traffic is coming from, the types of analytics that they do in the marketing. You know, that team has a great understanding of all those types of things.
And it seems very targeted. You know, you're not following Ashton Kutcher, right?
I can say I am not following Ashton Kutcher.
So, but this metrics thing, you guys are on top of the metrics.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about the metrics you try to follow, and how does it influence, mm-hmm. you know, what you do next week and next week?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because we are a small company, you know, we unfortunately can't have 22 PR team working for us.
Right.
So
maybe
we really,
in a few years.
That's right. We're working toward it. Though I think Zenobia and her team mm-hmm. does the work of 22. So, but we absolutely track every marketing program I have. I have some way of measuring its success.
What are examples of some of the criteria you use?
Well, obviously, I mean, a very obvious one, web traffic, you know.
Right.
We can absolutely see spikes when we put out a byline article, when we, you know, we got a placement in Forbes.
Right.
Clearly, you can see the tracking coming from
that. But is it
that.
Something like traffic could be, you know, if you write free beer, that'll get traffic, you know.
You can
know,
you like, imagine like, the spike after right. coming on our show?
Right.
Can you,
that spike can't even is imagine. Gonna, yeah.
Well, I will say one of the strongest ROI measurements we find is with events, uh-huh. right? We do very targeted events. We do not do a ton of a large national. We do very targeted right. regional events for us with virtualization. And we have been able to track after the leads that come from those type things all the way out until we call it cradle to grave, until we actually see sales, and I can track
you get a
back
yes
many
or no.
times.
Right, so you can
absolutely, absolutely, wow. and of course you also you tie the dollar amount to that, and you absolutely see how much
right.
money, you know, how much it was worth.
So how much is a tweet worth?
Oh, $1 million if it's from Mike Ronski.
So, Zenobia, how do these guys make the cut? What do you look for in a client relationship? Because I get the sense that you're the type that would have a discipline of you're going to shop for a specific kind of client that you can work with.
You don't just take anybody.
Kind of
you're not going to take Stone.
Right.
We do some pro bono work as well.
Charity.
There you go.
Charity work.
No, we do. You know, we are selective in who we bring on as clients. We specifically have tried to stay as a fairly small firm. I think, you know, these guys have referred to it in your previous session as well. You want a senior level of people working on your account who yeah. really understand the technology. So we come about it sort of the same way that I think maybe a venture capitalist would approach, you know, how do you evaluate a startup, right? Do we see a big market potential? Is this a big opportunity? Do they have, you know, is there a real potential for the technology? Is there a real user pain point that they're trying to solve? You know, and does the technology work? Do the customers like it? Are they happy?
Do they have customers?
Right. Do they have customers?
That's a good question.
That's important.
And then, you know, what does the management team look like, right? Do they have a great track record? You know, do they have the experience in building some of these enterprise technology companies? You know, and are do they have all of the right people in place in the different roles there? So those are really the kind of the criteria that we look at. You know, and then, of course, there's a relationship, right? Do we think these people are great to work with? Are they going to be exciting? Or are we going to get up in the morning and feel motivated to work with them?
That's a great set of criteria.
Yeah, so you didn't realize you were being checked out that much more, did you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You thought you
it's
were
the way of the startup
her.
World. It's the way of the startup world.
Yeah, so she made you jump through some hoops.
Well, and that's a great point, because I think I look at it at bringing on a PR firm as no different than hiring an internal resource, right? If it's not a great fit for both,
right, you can't afford
then
to
it
be
doesn't
wrong.
Work,
right.
Particularly a company of our size.
Right, you're fragile at the beginning. You can't
Absolutely.
Be wrong. You can't make that many wrong moves.
Absolutely.
So how can our listeners get in touch with you out there at your outfit? And unless you're from you too, so to make sure that our listeners can contact you guys.
Absolutely. ReflexSystems.com. We are on Twitter, Facebook, obviously online. We have a blog, the VCurve blog. So those are various outlets you can reach us if you're interested.
And what's my
in,
pain that I have?
What problem are you fixing?
If you are in managing IT within a mid to large enterprise that has virtualization infrastructure, we provide a very strong layer of management on top of that to help people optimize that and actually gain the benefits that virtualization provides.
Very well articulated. You must have
good.
Been. You must have
that
good PR
like
agent.
Media
I
training.
Do.
Nice
I do. I've had media training.
Sounds like. All right, Zenobia.
And ZAG Communications is just zagcommunications.com online or on Twitter. I'm at Marketing Guru.
Oh, nice. Good. You had to be early to get that one.
She landed the good one there,
yeah, exactly.
Didn't she?
Yeah.
Well, did you learn anything this morning, buddy?
A ton. You're a great interviewer. That's what I learned.
Well, you know, I'm curious, and I don't know anything.
That helps.
That's what you got, right?
All right. So that wraps up another great Atlanta Business Radio show. Tune in next week for more great guests. See ya.